Chandu, the magician. Next Monday at this same time, the makers of White King will continue the thrilling story of Chandu, the magician. And tomorrow, Saturday, when you do your weekend shopping, be sure at the head of the list, you write the words, White King. You'll like White King for washing clothes and for washing dishes, too. There's something about a dishpan full of nice, warm soap suds that makes a woman feel that her dishes will come out really clean. Every tiny granule dissolves completely in your dishwater, whips up to billowy clouds of suds. And White King suds rinse away quickly and completely, too, when you douse your dishes with hot water. Leave china, glassware, and silver so extra bright, they dry in a jiffy. White King soap is extra kind to hands, too. It is so easy on lovely hands that thousands and thousands of ladies who use it say, I love White King. Yes, indeed, for washing clothes or dishes, you'll love White King. In a narrow street in Cairo, soon after returning from the desert, Dorothy Regent narrowly escapes being run down by a big car. In it is Gordon Douglas, foreign correspondent for a press association. He insists on driving Dorothy home to the house of Princess Naji, where Frank Chandler and the Regents are staying. Fascinated by Douglas' colorful profession, Bob invites him in. When he learns that Dorothy is the wife of Robert Regent, internationally famous scientist, and that Chandler believes Regent is still alive somewhere, Douglas bombards them with questions, but Chandler refuses to allow him to write any story about Regent. Then Douglas invites them all to dinner at Mena House, the hotel on the edge of the desert. To Chandler's surprise, Dorothy accepts at once. Now, the following evening, the party is just finishing dinner. Chandu, the magician.
I thought we might go out into the garden now. Do you think it's too cool, Mrs. Regent?
Oh, I brought a coat. We found we needed them in the evening when we were staying here before we moved to Naji's.
You want to put it on now, Dot?
Oh, I may as well. Thank you, Frank.
Oh, that drummer really sends you, doesn't he?
Oh, he's real gone.
Oh, Betty.
You know, a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have known what either of you meant.
Uncle Frank was in India so long, he almost forgot how to speak American, Mr. Douglas.
Well, hardly that.
I'd like to talk to you about India sometime, Chandler.
Very well. Well, that looks as if that's the end for tonight. They're putting their instruments away.
Shall we go out here? This opens directly onto the garden. Oh, I keep forgetting you know the place.
Well, let's take those chairs under the tree.
Oh, that'll be nice.
How long were you here before you went to stay with the princess?
A week or so.
Let's sit over here, Bob, so we can look out toward the road.
Okay. There's nothing to see, though.
You can't tell what might come along.
Comfortable, Mrs. Regent?
Yes, thanks.
Oh, Chandler, could you arrange for me to meet the princess?
Well, I don't mind asking her if she comes back before I leave. But she never gives interviews.
I'd like to meet her anyway. You have no idea the fantastic rumors I've heard about her.
For instance?
Well, for one thing, that her family goes straight back to the time of the pyramids. That she's not related to the present reigning house in any way.
That's true.
Really? I've even heard she's in possession of the secrets of the Magi, or whatever they were called in Egypt, the sorcerers.
Yes, I've heard that.
Why, Uncle Frank, you know it's true.
Betty.
Naji certainly won't discuss anything like that with you, Douglas.
Oh. Can't imagine what it is to be sitting on a story like yours and not be able to write it. This business of Regent being alive and all these hints of Egyptian sorcery. Oh, I'm the most frustrated reporter this
time. Gee, I bet. Were you all over everywhere during the war, Mr. Douglas?
Pretty much, yes, Bob.
Oh, listen. What do you suppose that is, Uncle Frank?
Well, it sounds like a procession of some kind in the road.
Oh, let's go see. Come on, Bob.
It sure sounds weird.
No, wait, children, no.
Well, Mom, it's right out there.
Well, I don't care. You know what happened to you the other time you were just standing out in the driveway.
I'll go with them, Dot.
Oh, all right then. I don't mind.
Why don't you come too, Mother?
No, thanks. This is the first evening we've had that feels like home. I'm going to sit right here.
Well, come along, kids, if you don't want to miss it.
Oh, wonderful. Gee, I'm so sorry.
And I suppose there's no use in asking you what it was that happened to Bob.
I'm sorry, Mr. Douglas. It's much too involved.
Ah. You know, you're unbelievable.
Why?
You take all this so calmly.
Oh, I'm glad you think so.
But you seem to be.
My husband's been missing for 9 years. Now I've suddenly heard he's alive. Can you imagine any woman being calm, as you put it?
No, I can't. That's why I'm surprised at you.
We're doing everything we can to find him.
And yet you won't let me help you.
Why? What could you do?
I could break the story that Robert Regent is alive. Every paper in the civilized world would pick it up. People everywhere would begin to look for him.
They wouldn't find him.
Now, why do you say that?
Well...
As you spoke, almost as if you really know where he is.
No, I told you we don't, Mr. Douglas. Let's not talk about it anymore. It's just a story to you, I know, but we...
Oh, no, it isn't, Mrs. Regent. I can't help being interested. Well, that is, of course, I don't know the circumstances. But you must realize better than anyone what it would mean to the world if your husband would go back to his work.
My brother's doing all he can to find Robert. If he can't, nobody can.
But Chandler has business of his own. That has to come first.
How do you know?
How do I know? I've been checking with my Washington office. He's something of a mystery man, isn't he?
Oh, I don't think so. If Frank were as busy as you think, would he have brought all of us over here to Egypt?
Oh, I've thought of that, too. But it looks odd, you know. He's been in and around Cairo for several weeks now. He's made no effort to look up his old friends, nor introduce any of them to you, nor... Well, you see what I mean.
Well, you seem to have been checking in Cairo, too, Mr. Douglas.
I told you I was a nosy reporter.
Well, to show you there's no mystery about us, we went for a trip into the desert, for one thing.
Well, then you think your husband may be in the desert somewhere.
You know, I think all the movies about reporters must be utterly true to life.
Oh, they are.
24 hours a day?
Well, all right. I'll give up for the moment. I'll have some drinks sent out. What would you like?
Why not wait for my brother? He'll be back in a moment.
Unless they followed that procession up the road.
Oh, I don't think even the children's curiosity would go that far. Frank?
Shall I go and see what's become of them?
Oh, no, thanks. They'll... Oh, here they come. Well, what was it?
A wedding procession. And Mother, they all went way out on the road to the Egyptians' village. We could see their lights almost all the way.
And they had regular relays of musicians with those drums and horns. And were they dressed up?
What do you mean by the Egyptians' village?
Well, the Egyptian guides live in a village of their own. They have nothing at all to do with the Arabs, who've only been in Egypt for 10 or 11 centuries.
Oh, didn't you know that, Mr. Douglas? Why, we knew an Egyptian guide that... Well, his ancestors used to be the slaves of Najee's ancestors when the pyramids were built.
Really? What's his name?
Ollie something.
Oh, Bob, you know. Ollie Magoob El Gabri. Isn't that a name?
He's not in Cairo now, though, Douglas, if you were thinking of looking him up.
Oh.
Where is Ollie, Uncle Frank?
I don't know exactly, Betty.
Well, maybe Najee took him with her.
Yes, she did.
Don't you think we should be going, Frank?
Oh, please, not yet. It's early. I was just going to send for some drinks.
Betty.
Do you mean me?
Aywa. There is a message for you, Yassidi.
A telephone call?
Aywa, Yassidi.
Ah, I was expecting it. It's long distance. I'll take it in my room.
Oh, well, then we will.
Oh, please, don't go, though. I'll send out the drinks and rejoin you as soon as I've finished. What will it be?
Oh, they make marvelous lemonades here. Lemon squash, they call it. Bob and I drank them by the quart.
Oh, yes, I'll have one, too.
Nothing for me, thanks.
You sure? Well, just as you like. I'll be right down.
What a disagreeable way to have to earn a living.
You mean Mr. Douglas?
Prying into people's private lives. How can a man like that bring himself to do it?
I can sure see how he can. I'd love every minute of it.
And you say I'm curious.
Well, it's a job with him. He gets to travel all over and be in on stuff everywhere. Secret meetings. You mean to say you wouldn't like that, Mom?
No, I wouldn't. Why, Frank, he told me he even checked up on you.
Oh, how did he go about that, did he say?
Yes, through his office in Washington. I never saw such a curious man.
I hope he told you what he found out.
Well, nothing, apparently. You're a mystery man.
Good.
Well, you checked up on him, Uncle Frank.
Well, that was different, Bob.
Oh, sure.
Bob, after all, the way we met him...
Yes, for all we knew, Mr. Douglas might be working for Roxall.
Oh, Betty.
Well, he may be. But he's an accredited correspondent, all right. I telephoned the Press Association in Rome.
Roxor can't have everybody in the world working for him.
Fortunately for the world, no. I suppose he wanted to know more about Robert, Dot.
Yes, he certainly did. He insisted he could find him if
Hey,
he...
Uncle Frank, that's a red-hot idea. He could turn the newspapers loose and boom!
Gee, that's terrific.
Now listen, Bob, and you too, Betty.
Yeah?
Douglas may try to pump you about your father. Don't tell him anything. Don't discuss it with him at all.
We don't know anything to tell him, Uncle Frank.
You know more than you think you do, honey. Both of you have seen Roxor, for instance. Douglas mustn't hear his name from any of us.
Oh, I don't see why not. He might run into him somewhere. We don't know where Roxor went when he left Cairo, and if Mr. Douglas saw him, he could...
No. Roxor may not have left Cairo. And another thing...
Abdallah said he had, Frank. And you went to his rooms, and they were empty.
He may be 1,000 miles from here, Dot. But I'm taking no chances.
Look, Uncle Frank, do you have to suspect everybody of being a skulldugger?
You know better than that, Bob. But suppose, for instance, that Roxor has your father hidden somewhere in Cairo. Douglas hears of Roxor from you, and sees him, and tries to follow him. What do you suppose would happen?
Well, yeah, I see what you mean.
At the very least, Roxor would take him somewhere else. Maybe just that I'd found out where he was.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to be such a goon, Uncle Frank.
It's all right, Bob. You don't think I blame you for wanting to do everything you can to find your father?
You know, I'm getting awfully thirsty. I wonder what happened to our lemonade.
Yeah, and what about Mr. Douglas? That must have been some call he got. Where do you suppose he is?
Yes, yes. But I wish you wouldn't call me. I'll call you when I have a story. I tell you, I can't. Well, I've got nothing but hints so far. Surely I'll work on the kids. Well, only one thing. You didn't tell me the widow was so charming. A delightful woman who won't talk yet. Oh, this job is going to be a pleasure, I assure you.
Before we say good evening, to suggest that you and your family listen to Chandu every weekday evening at this time. And for your family wash, we'd like to have you try the soap we make. White King granulated soap. If you think that a washing machine soap should make suds, plenty of rich, thick, energetic suds, then you'll love White King. For White King makes plenty of suds, suds that stay up, even when your wash water cools down. And White King suds are never lazy suds. They are so full of wash day energy, they wash your clothes clean and wash them fast. Why, even your most badly soiled bath towels, your food-stained table linens, and the youngsters' grimy play togs come clean in White King's rich, creamy suds. So on your radio, for thrills and adventure, remember to listen to Chandu the Magician every weekday evening. And in your weekly wash, remember to use White King granulated soap. Nothing washes like soap, and there is no soap like White King for your washing machine. Chandu the Magician is presented for your enjoyment every weekday evening. Special musical effects are by Carla Pondit. The makers of White King invite you to listen Monday at this time when the story resumes. Chandu the Magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.